T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
1120 KMOX. I heard you missed us. We're back. This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
All right, let's kick off the Monday edition of Overtime. Joining us here in Studio B, it's the birthday boy, Charlie Brennan.
Well, yesterday's birthday, but the big birthday greetings go to Kaylee, who is turning 14 today.
Unbelievable, right?
Those are fun years.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yes, it indeed has been. Brad Young, welcome to Studio B.
Good morning, Debbie.
Partner with Harris, Dowell, Fisher, and Young. All right, it was 23 years ago today that the $280 million new home of the St. Louis Rams, the Trans World Dome, made its debut for its first NFL game. Think about that paltry little figure for a minute, $230 million. What would that build you today? Now members of the ownership group trying to bring Major League Soccer to St. Louis say we could know by the end of January if this effort will be successful. Charlie, our last big stadium venture didn't end so well. Do you think this one could end better?
Well, well, well. We had many great years with the Rams. We went to 2 Super Bowls, won one, right? Is my memory correct right there? And you say it was $280 million, but I remember when I once told H. Milford, who was the county executive, it's $750 million if you include interest, and he really chastised me. He said, because when you look at the price of a home, you never include the interest, although, you know, there is that mortgage. Well, I'll say this. I thought that the Rams were great in that stadium for a while. It wasn't our fault that Stan Kroenke got the controlling interest. Now we have a family that I think is more upstanding than Stan. We're talking the Taylor family of Enterprise Rent-A-Car. And I'm here to tell you I've never received so much as an upgrade from Enterprise. So I'm not beholden to them in any way, but I think they run a good shop. And if they're behind it, as well as Jim Cavanaugh of Worldwide Technologies, I think it could be very, very successful.
Well, there's also a lesson to be learned here, Charlie, and the lesson is that when you have a stadium financing deal that's primarily publicly funded, there's lots of opportunities for the deal to go south, for problems to occur. But what we've been told about the MLS potential stadium deal is that it would be primarily privately funded. Which, I mean, that's a fantastic lesson to be learned, is to have a primarily privately funded stadium instead of primarily publicly funded. It doesn't mean it has to be 100%, but at least it seems like we've learned our lesson.
I'm just thinking of this $280 million dome that we built. The new parking facility at O'Hare Airport has cost $1 billion. A parking facility.
Wow.
I know, isn't it crazy?
Yeah, and I saw, you know, we recently announced $175 million in improvements to our convention center.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nashville just spent $1.5 billion.
Yeah, it's huge dollar amounts. It is amazing. All right, well, this could be huge dollar amounts or maybe not. Marijuana, of course, Missouri legalized medical marijuana. Incoming Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker wants to full out legalize marijuana for recreational use as well in Illinois. I think they've had medical marijuana there now for at least 3 years. Brad, would you like to see legalized recreational marijuana in Illinois?
Listen, let me tell you, Illinois would be selling timeshares and used cars to raise money at this point. And I've been saying for years that Illinois will eventually legalize recreational marijuana because they have to have the revenue. And that's what we're seeing. I mean, the governor-elect, I think, said within 24 hours of the election, we're going to legalize marijuana because there's $150 to $200 million a year in revenue that Colorado gets from recreational marijuana that Illinois desperately wants and desperately needs. Do I think it's a great idea? I personally don't with regard to recreational marijuana. I am in favor of medical marijuana. But in terms of a fiscal issue, Illinois has to do this.
Well, there goes the Republic. You know, we're funding things now with vices. First was gaming, and now it's marijuana. Go for it. I was at an event the other night, and a colleague of mine seemed really out of it. And a couple of us were talking, what is going on? The depression is has just wreaked this, taken over this guy. Later, find out a day or so later, well, I was eating some edibles. That's what, and all right, that's what we want. Fine, legalize it. Just don't come to me and say, you know, we need money for treatment. Because that's the next thing. They'll be saying, you know, we've got a lot of people who've got problems with marijuana. We need money for treatment. All right. You're on your own, my friend.
What about people who need treatment for alcoholism?
As far as I'm concerned, at this point, absolutely. You're on your own, my friend. You know the dangers.
But yeah, I represent a lot of employers in Illinois, and one of the things that no one's talking about when we talk about recreational marijuana is if something's legal, what's going to be the employment ramifications of that? If someone shows up and tests positive for a drug test, they're fired. And it doesn't matter whether it's legal or not. The state employers will still be able to terminate employment based upon a positive drug test, and that's not going to change.
Yeah, that is an interesting conundrum for a lot of people. But wait, it's legal. All right, 29 people so far have died in California wildfires. It has been really ugly and scary there all weekend long. And President Trump decided to tweet this weekend that he wants to pull federal funding for California forest management if they don't improve their poor management in the wake of all these fires, which caused a lot of pushback from firefighters and people who manage the forests. Is it poor management to blame for these fires? What do you think, Charlie?
Well, I think the president waded into territory he knows nothing about. The fires in this case were not in forests. They were in urban areas. And the firefighters themselves, the first responders, were saying, this is an urban interface. So Jerry Brown, the governor of California, said it is true that we do have some problems with forest management. Okay. However, at this time, we have 250,000 people who are displaced, 250 who are missing, 6,000 homes and businesses that have already gone up in flames. Let's argue about this a little later. And I think he's right.
He's absolutely right. I mean, when you talk about something that looks bad, right now we're focused on saving lives, saving property, evacuating homes, saving homes. That's the focus. And the president tweets about land management. I mean, even if what he said was true, and I don't believe that it is, now is not the time to make those types of accusations.
All right. Well, some people think he was just making up for his appearances over the weekend, which we'll get to in the next segment of Overtime. Stay with us. It's 8:39 at the Voice of St. Louis.
This is Overtime.
Don't you understand? We can't stop ourselves.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
All right, 8:42, round two of Overtime. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan and Brad Young with Harris, Dahl, Fisher, and Young. President Trump flew to Paris over the weekend to take part in the 100th observance of Armistice Day, November 11th, 1918. It was a big day and a big outing with all the major heads of state in appearance, but rainy weather forced the president to cancel an appearance at a ceremony to commemorate veterans in France. It did not prevent other heads of state from attending that ceremony. Critics, including Nicholas Soames, a member of parliament and a grandson of Winston Churchill, called President Trump's excuse inadequate. Is this unjustified Trump bashing, Brad? Or, I mean, did it look weird to not have the president of the United States there?
Well, I've heard it said, Debbie, that perhaps he canceled because he didn't want to get his hair wet.
I think that could be it.
I've heard that mentioned. But specifically, though, what I've actually read is that the Marine Corps and the White House military office are the ones who canceled the visit because Marine One, the helicopter, was incapable of flying because of the rain and weather. Now, I don't know whether a limousine was still an option or not, but I have read that it was the Marine Corps' call to cancel the trip. And I certainly have no problem criticizing President Trump. I just did it a moment ago. But in this instance, at least from what I've read, it was a call by the Marine Corps.
You know, I think the president deserves criticism for a lot of things, but whether or not he attends a ceremony at a cemetery, I'm kind of like, who cares? You know, there are so many other important things in the world affecting life and death and the future of the nation, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's got a certain diplomacy that works in some cases, Israel, and not in other cases, maybe Europe. But at the end of the day, it's not like we're at war with Europe. It's not a matter of going to war or not. It's just, it's a symbolic gesture. And so, you know, I think at a certain point in life, you have to decide, okay, what are you going to be outraged about? And this is just one of those things I'm not going to be outraged about.
Well, some people are outraged when other people, according to them, don't stay in their lane. I don't know who gets to decide who is in what lane, but the NRA tweeted last week telling doctors who dared to enter the gun debate to stay in their own lane. They tweeted, let's see, I have the actual tweet here. It said, someone should tell self-important anti-gun doctors to stay in their lane. Half of the articles in the Annals of Internal Medicine are pushing for gun control. It goes on and on. But then doctors hitting back saying, this is our lane. We pull bullets out of corpses all the time. So should doctors stay in their lane? Is this not a conversation that, you know, doctors are allowed to enter in? What do you think, Brad?
Well, certainly they're allowed to do that. I mean, that falls within a purview of doctors to study the public health ramifications of firearm deaths. But likewise, if that's going to be the case, what I want to see is a study of how many deaths or injuries are prevented when citizens have their own firearms. I've read studies that and demonstrate the media reporting whenever someone protects themselves with a firearm. It doesn't get any reporting at all. And yet we know statistically that this happens all the time. We know even from that shooting in Texas from last year, the gunman was killed by someone else with a firearm. A good Samaritan with a firearm stopped the person who was killing the folks at the church in Texas last year. But that was there was very little reporting on that. So if we're going to study firearm deaths as a public health issue, I would want that to necessarily include lives that are saved by citizens who have their own firearms.
Well, I think that's the whole thing. I mean, isn't the CDC prevented by statute from investigating gun violence? I think
yeah,
that
they're,
has been
they're
the
not
case.
Allowed to put out studies about
something
it.
Something like that. It is true. I think in New City about 10 days ago, some guy defended himself successfully with a firearm. You know, it was in the small type in the paper. But I think doctors are on the front lines in the ERs treating, you know, bullet wounds. I'd like to hear what they have to say.
All right. Would you like to hear what Amazon Echo has to say? Because authorities in New Hampshire are hopeful that a smart speaker will be smart enough to convict a double murderer. So this is, I'm sure, something we're going to be hearing about more and more. But Amazon was ordered by a judge on Friday to hand over recordings taken by an Echo device in the Farmington, New Hampshire home where Christine Sullivan lived with her boyfriend. Sullivan was found murdered in the backyard of a home in January of 2017, along with Jenna Pellegrini, who was staying at the home. So they want to see, basically, if there were any private conversations or things picked up that could be used in this trial. I guess I should start with the attorney, but...
No, that's fine.
Are you sure?
I'd like to hear what he has to say.
We keep starting with Brad. What do you think, Brad? Is this going to be something everyone should be keeping in mind in the privacy of their own homes?
This is clearly going to be a trend. There are several cases. In fact, there was a case out of Kentucky from about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, where a person was arrested and there was a possibility that the Amazon Echo had recorded something. And Amazon fought it. They fought it very hard because they did not want to give up any information. This is a PR nightmare for people who create these devices like Amazon Echo. From a legal perspective, there is no government action here. So if there are recordings of someone making a confession, that information would arguably be admissible because there's no state action. It's not like they have to have a Miranda warning in this. Mm. But the situation is this is a PR nightmare for the companies that make these devices, because even if there is a recording, do any of us really want to think about the ramifications of everything that we say in our home being recorded? I mean, that's scary. No one wants that. That's Big Brother from a public, or rather from a private perspective. It's Big Brother run amok. No one wants that.
I hate to answer this with a question, but curiously, what is the law when it comes to a confession, let's say, in a Roman Catholic church? If a priest hears someone say something, let's say the person confessing says, I committed homicide. Is the priest legally bound to share that information?
Not at all, because there is a built-in exception for the priest-penitent confession. That is a built-in exception to the confession rule. So, but there is no built-in Amazon Echo exemption. That doesn't exist. But there is a priest-penitent exception to the evidentiary rules.
Do you remember the case in South St. Louis where there was a Palestinian family and the FBI had bugged the home thinking that he, the father, was a terrorist, and instead they did hear the father beat the daughter to death because she had had a romance with someone who wasn't Muslim. I think the name was Isa, something like that. And that's how the FBI actually was able to convict the dad by recording a conversation. But they didn't think, you know, they didn't have any idea he was homicidal. They were just kind of lucky in that case.
Right. But in that case, though, because it was government action, the government had to obtain a warrant before they could bug the home. In this instance, we're voluntarily bugging our own homes whenever we buy an Amazon Echo. We're agreeing to this in advance. I just don't think most people understand the ramifications of placing these devices in our homes.
Mm. I don't have one in my home, and I actually turned Siri off on my phone. Because everyone's, you know how Siri just talks to you out of the blue? Like, why are you talking to me? I just turned it off.
Mm.
All right. Well, we have to take a break here, but when we come back, it's round three of OT, KMOX News Time, 8:50. Stel Fisher and Young, Charlie Brennan at the Charlie Brennan Show. I'm Debbie Monterey. Let's talk about music for a few segments here. Rihanna has made it official. She tweeted on Sunday that she does not want her music associated with President Trump's tragic rallies and has had her people deliver a cease and desist letter to Trump headquarters. Now, she's not the only one to do this. Other artists have complained about their music being used at political rallies. Charlie, should artists have the right to decide if their music can be played in situations like that?
Well, I don't know the legalities. I always wondered about Chrissy Hynde, the Pretenders,
right,
and Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
every time you hear that song now, you immediately think of Rush Limbaugh, not the Pretenders,
so
right?
Is she a Rush Limbaugh fan, or is she getting a nice check, or how does that work?
I hope she's getting a really big check.
She does get a check. In fact, I've heard that Rush mention that before, that he actually paid royalties early on. And so he sends a check quite often.
Well, there you go. You know, if on the other hand, the artist is not in the spirit, it does seem like it'd be bad karma. So, and this has happened before, where politicians have used the music of rock stars that don't give them support. I just think if the rock star or musician does not want his or her music attached to your effort, it's bad luck to include it.
Well, legally, what I think is interesting is this, and the Trump team has used this maneuver very effectively, is that artists can say to President Trump, we don't want you to use our music because the Trump team doesn't have an ASCAP BMI license. So what happens is that the Trump team uses the license of the venue where they're speaking. So if President Trump is speaking at the Show Me Center, then the Show Me Center has a BMI ASCAP license, and the Trump team can use the license that's owned by the venue to use the music. And under those circumstances, the artists cannot refuse to allow their music to be used. So that's a loophole that President Trump's team is utilizing, I think, quite effectively in order to use whatever music they want to use.
Does that mean that he can ignore the cease and desist letters?
Yes. He can, because the Trump team isn't the one that's technically using the music. It's the venue where they have whatever event that they're using. And most venues have purchased an ASCAP BMI license, so the artist cannot refuse or allow a cease and desist to override the license that the venue has already purchased.
Interesting. All right. Another music topic here, Christmas music. Some people love it and can't get enough. Others are like, please wait until it's like actually Christmas time. But does Christmas music make you stressful? According to Dr. Peter Christensen, a professor of rhetoric and media studies at Lewis and Clark College in Portland, Oregon, he says there is a general pressure that comes with Christmas. What is toxic about the holidays is that at this one time of the year, you're expected to read people's minds and give them the perfect gift, and the music plays into all of that. Does Christmas music stress you out, Brad?
Well, I would say that Christmas music makes me pull my hair out, but I don't have any hair left to pull out, so I can't necessarily use that. But no, Christmas music doesn't make me stressful. Christmas music should remind us of childhood experiences, of fun events with our families, and that's what it certainly does for me, and no, it does not make me stressful.
I'd like to issue this alert. There are snowflakes in the forecast.
Ooh. Where? I don't
Seriously,
see any yet.
I mean, we lost, 20 million people in World War I. So 100 years later, we're worried about too much Christmas music. I mean, give me a break.
Exactly.
Give me a break.
Well, I'm better at Christmas music now, but having worked retail as a younger person, it starts November 1st and it ends January 31st and you hear it over and over again, it would make me crazy. It ruined Christmas music for me for decades.
That's why you're not working retail.
That's right. Or down the hall at our sister station,
right,
where I don't know if they've started the Christmas music yet, but it's coming. All right, let's see. A recent poll shows some 7 out of 10 millennials would take a pay cut if they could work side by tail with their dog. The poll also found that 1 in 5 people surveyed would even opt for a 20% cut in pay. Charlie, if you had a dog, would you take a cut in pay to bring your dog to work?
Would I take a cut in pay? No, I definitely would not. You know, we've tried to bring some animals into the studio, but we've been told that some of our colleagues are allergic to them, so we can't do it.
I know. We've been banned from dogs in this floor.
Well,
so un-American.
I can speak to this because one of my partners in my law firm, Harris Dow Fisher & Young, brings his dog in every day and has for about 2 years. And it is fabulous. He comes down. You know, I'm all stressed. I've got 100 emails I got to respond to. I've got folks on the phone that have a crisis. And then the dog comes up and puts his paw on your lap.
Aww.
It is a fantastic stress reliever. Now, would I take a pay cut to get that? I don't know. Please don't ask me because I won't answer. But I will tell you that having a dog in the workplace, if you're a dog lover, is fabulous.
My dog would be a great stress dog in this workplace. She's the best. So anyway, I'm advocating for that. Let's see, what's on tap sponsored by Midwest Money?
Well, we're going to talk about Winston Churchill and Ruth Bader Ginsburg with two authors, separate interviews, who've written huge volumes on both, plus Jonathan Clements on Money Mondays, and lots to follow on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.